got you shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it's sink or swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. Welcome to the shrimp tank, word to Chris Hanks. Before to put it all together, this is big thanks. Doing big things, chasing big dreams. Yeah, it's all real, this life's all that it seems. All the chicks scream, all the dudes yell. This is just what I do and I do it well. With the flow fresher than the new shoe smell. Going through hell, well homie keep going. You know the saying, you gon' reap what you sow in. So I don't chase girls, I just chase dreams. Play the same game, but we ain't in the same league. Running a campaign, roadie 2016, like a phone to die, putting me in charge. I'm a general from the front, I'ma lead the charge. Like a federal, fell on my lap, never going hard as ever.
Hey, everybody. Good morning and welcome to the Shrimp Tank right here in the Business Radio X Networks in Sandy Springs. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkins, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. We're sitting here with Joey, who's a rising star at KSU in the entrepreneurship program. And we'll bring on Jeff Yon in just a minute, who's the CEO of Dynamics, along with many, many other businesses. When you talk about serial entrepreneurs, we're going to bring on a guy today who's going to probably teach us a lot about what being an entrepreneur is. What do we do here on the Shrimp Tank? Well, look, we talk to some of the brightest and best CEOs throughout the state of Georgia, in and around Atlanta, about what it takes to run, grow, and start a small business and make it maybe into a big business one day. And as of late, we've been bringing on students from Kennesaw State University and talking to them about their bright ideas. A few weeks ago, we had on four great students talk about their entrepreneurial dreams of the future, because we know this. We know in America here, I guess they're talking about making America great again, Hanks. And the thing is that how do you make America great? Well, you put it in the hands of the small business owners. These are the ones that create the jobs. I saw a stat today, Chris, that basically, I think, ranked Atlanta as the 10th best place or the 9th best place for job growth in America. I don't know if you saw that, but a massive statistic. Why are you seeing, I guess, because you're running the entrepreneur program and growing it like crazy. We'll talk about it in a minute at Kennesaw State. Why is entrepreneurship and job growth happening so much here in Georgia?
Kennesaw State University, Ted.
Is that why it's happening? It's a one-for-one growth ratio at Kennesaw State?
Go Owls.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's still true, too. I saw some stat a while ago that as a percentage of population, Georgia has more startups per capita than any other state. That's pretty
awesome. Is
that right? Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty great. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons for that, right? Cost of living, transportation, having a good airport where there's a lot of direct flights. You know, there's a lot of factors that play into creating an ecosystem like that. But it is pretty impressive. We are a great place to be an entrepreneur.
And Joey, you're excited about it. Now, as a student at Kennesaw State, we're going to talk about this in a minute because I want to hear about what's going on at Kennesaw State. And then we'll bring in Jeff and talk to him about his business. But you're in the program at Kennesaw State. And for a lot of people that are listening to this, or if you're a parent that has a child that's in high school and thinking about, well, what career path does my child have to take? Well, let me tell you this. All career paths end up in entrepreneurship. You want to be successful in a company, you have to be an entrepreneur because most bosses don't give a crap. And if you're on the real entrepreneur side, look, you've got to figure it out one way or the other. You're going to do it by the school of hard knocks, or you're going to learn at a place like Kennesaw State how to really become an entrepreneur so you can explode your business when you get out of college. So what are you learning most, Joey, about in the entrepreneurship program? What have you learned the most right now that's helping you prepare? I know you talked to us about your products and what you're doing in your business. And what have you learned most at the school?
Yeah, well, man, that's hard to summarize quickly. I know last week we were talking about value propositions and getting ready to pitch to investors and how the most valuable currency that you have is your ability to make an impact on others. So every class I go into is just, you know, nuggets of truth that you can take away and directly apply to life. But I think to summarize, the biggest thing that the Entrepreneurship Center has taught me is that I don't have to wait for others to tell me what to do, right? Yeah. Like I can seize the future and I can decide what I want it to look like and go after it and enroll other people onto my journey. So that's just been an entirely transformational process.
I saw a VC presentation about 2 weeks ago on wheat. Yes, weed, marijuana. It was, you know, because right now there's just, you know, some uncertainty. I know everyone thinks they're going to make a gazillion dollars by having a grow farm and basically selling pot, but it's not going to be that way. But it was a presentation. One of the most interesting things that I saw was a company called PayQuick. And PayQuick basically is going to be the first PayPal for pot because you can't bank in the marijuana business today. It's federally illegal. And if you want to look it up online, it's PayQuick, PayQuick.com. And it basically was a PayPal for pot. It had a way for people to not have to pay cash when they go into these dispensaries in these some 7 or 8 legal states for recreational and the 28 or so that are legal for marijuana. I thought it was pretty amazing that now they're starting to raise money to figure out if you want to make money in the marijuana business.
So are you investing? Is that, did you sit in, were you one of the people they were pitching to?
Well, I'll be curious to hear Jeff's opinion on this in a minute as well, because I'm sure obviously starting business and investing in businesses, but it's an interesting dynamic because I think when people invest from a private equity perspective, the sexy part about it is when you hear people say, give me $100,000 and in 8 years you'll have $5 million. That's how this is going to work. Unfortunately, what they don't tell you is that 90% of them return nothing.
Yep.
So, you know, it's everyone likes to hear the glory story about people that make billions and billions of dollars in startups and businesses. What they don't want to hear about are the 90% of them where the money went down the toilet. So I haven't done anything yet, but I thought it was interesting that this is the first round I've ever seen on a marijuana fund, if you will. Very, very interesting stuff. Before we get to Jeff here, for those of you that have never listened to the show before, you can download all of our broadcasts on shrimptankpodcast.com, or you can download us on iTunes on Shrimp Tank. Why bother listening to terrestrial radio in the car when you can listen to Shrimp Tank and actually learn something on the way to work? What's happening with the KSU 100 at Kennesaw State right now and the kids that soon are going to be pitching? I know our good friend Lee Heisman is running this right now and helping create this. What's going on with the KSU 100?
Yeah, so we are sort of still in the front end of things. We are looking at, from all of our applicants, getting them down to 100 to start with, and then we will very quickly move from 100 to cut to 50. So I know Joey is one of the candidates here, so Joey will find out very soon if he made the top 50 or not. Based on his submission. So we are in the process of it. We'll go from 50 and we'll keep cutting until we get down to 1. And it's just a great catalyst to help people start their dreams, you know, give them a framework, say, hey, I got this idea, I'm not sure where to go, or I don't have a network, I don't have somebody who can help. And we're trying to provide that framework and those resources for anybody enrolled in KSU or one of our strategic partners who, you know, believe that they can actually follow their dream versus facilitate.
Joey, are you in the contest? Are you in it?
I am, yes, sir.
Are you in it with the product that we saw?
Yeah, with Art Inspired. That's the one.
Okay. Is Lee Heisman your coach?
Not yet.
Then you're going to lose.
I started a meeting with him. So yeah. Hopefully we
Lee's batting 1,000%. But you did make sales last week, right? Or this week. This week you made sales.
Yeah, we made a little over $200 this week trying to make progress.
You know, that was a colossal blunder not having Lee Heisman as your coach. He's had the inside track 2 of the last 3 times. So who's going to be your coach here? Do you know?
That's very true. Still considering the possibilities, but if Mr. Heisman would be willing, be more than happy to talk about that.
That's a smart thing. He has a knack for winning. Well, hey, we'd like to bring in our guest today. Jeff Yon is the CEO of Dynamics. Check this out. What if you had businesses that could win 585 awards over the past several, not one award, but 585 awards. And I saw that number that was just staggering because the two lousy plaques I have in my lobby, I cherish them, and I got to think about what Jeff's trophy case must look like. But tell us a little bit, just to start here, about what Dynamics is, what the business is, and how you started it, and where the idea germinated from.
Sure. Yeah, so thanks for having me. This is great. I really appreciate it. I started Dynamics sophomore year of college, and
oh my God.
Very humble roots. I wanted a $1,200 alarm system, and I'm a college student with no money. And I had never built a website before, but I wanted that alarm system and tried to figure out what I could offer a local store that would be worthy of getting that alarm system without me having to spend money I didn't have. And I was very shy at the time. And so it was easier to sit there and build something than it was to talk to someone. And I took the first 3 months after that decision and taught myself how to build a website. Built one for a company called Sound Sensations, and then put on a dress shirt, couldn't procrastinate anymore, and drove from Rome all the way to past the Big Chicken, and just walked in there, and this was pre-iPad days, so I printed out their old website, and I printed out the new website, and I just walked in, and I said, hey, you guys have a website, it's not very good. I made a new one for you. Can I have an alarm system? And if that wasn't terrifying enough, that was the first time I'd ever sold anything. I had started actually a business when I was 14 before this, but this was the first real like challenge, go out and sell someone on something. And So I was so nervous that in the middle of my terrible pitch, one of the salespeople says, "Dude, what's wrong with your face?"
And when you're doing a pitch, that's definitely one of those things you don't want to hear, right?
Yeah. Well, and I knew already that my face had gotten very red and splotchy. And I didn't really want someone to call it out, but he did. And so I thought, should I run? Mm. Like, you know, they don't even know who I am. I've bought something from them before, but they won't recognize me again. And then I thought, you know what? I'm just going to stay here and get through this. And, you know, the lady said, "Gosh, you know, we have people every week come in and try to sell us a new website. You're the first person who's ever come in with something done. And it is better than what they have. And it was cheap and easy for them to say yes to." And so that was my first website.
Oh, my God.
So scaling a business from that humble beginning, and which is a great example of bootstrapping, where you use your existing resources to launch something, how do you go from that to growing a business that's like the most awarded that exists, and then also having the business that works for you where you're not working for it?
A lot of hard work and a lot of checking your ego. You know, I spent the first 5 years of owning that company basically working to pay for my one employee. So sophomore year, I started the company. Senior year, I hired our first full-time employee who's still with us, and he's amazing. And we, for the next 2 or 3 years, I worked 2 jobs just to pay. You know, one was to pay for him, and one was to pay my mortgage. And we built software, and we went the hard road saying, you know, we don't want to be one of these, you know, WordPress, Joomla, Drupal guys who puts out a mediocre product and doesn't care. Life is short. Let's do things that are meaningful and are going to actually impact people and be great for them. And so it took 6 or 7 years for that approach to actually materialize into something that was worthwhile. And then when it did, it started to accelerate very quickly. And I'll tell you, on the award side, my goals were much more realistic when I started, looking at submitting our websites and having people look at them and considering whether they were valuable or not to others, you know, kind of in our industry, in our space. I really wanted to one day have 100 awards. And we blew past that in the first few months. And from there, it was just sort of uncharted territory. And then in 2015, we won 198. Trophies.
Awards in yeah. 1 year.
Yeah, exactly.
Adele, take that.
And then last year we won right around 300 awards. And so
in your kind of business, you know, because it obviously is a highly fragmented business, and you have companies out there that say that they'll design a website when you buy a domain from them. And then you have these web designers, whether or not they're good, that can charge in excess of 5 figures for a website or more. Mm-hmm. How do you differentiate yourself when you go to market a service like we do websites for you?
Well, you know, I think it's all about education. So if you don't know who we are, everyone is our competitor. The neighbor's kid who builds WordPress sites is our competitor.
Right.
The guy who does $250,000 projects is our competitor. Everyone in between is sort of like, what benefit do you bring over the others? I think once you start to see our work and you start to see the attention that's brought to it, I mean, our approach is we create transformative experiences. So if Chris calls us up and we look at what he's doing and we say, you know, we can't make a huge impact on what he's doing, we'll turn that project down. You know, we really only focus on the times where we know that we're going to totally transform that business. And so when we know that, it's easy for us to portray exactly what your end result's going to be. And here's some of the things we've
done. Let me ask you a question inside of here, because I think this would be good for a lot of entrepreneurs that are listening today, and may even be great for our post-show wrap up today. You know, when a business gets started here, a lot of times somebody who doesn't really have the knowledge of marketing at all may not understand the difference between hiring somebody for social media, hiring somebody who may or may not be good at search engine optimization, and also may have the aesthetic eye to basically build a website. You know, so how do you encourage somebody who's out there, who's a small business owner, to just gauge the marketplace? Because I do think there's a lot of ripoff artists that are out there that say they know SEO and maybe they can spell it, but they don't really know how to do it. And so how does a small business owner wade through that, you know, mud.
It's really tough. And actually, I'll tell you, that's one of the things that I love doing is sitting down with groups of business owners and identifying the tools that we use to determine if someone's good at their job. You know, running through Google Page Speed and seeing whether the site has terrible code and is going to load poorly on different browsers. And, you know, there's a handful of things that we look at that help us determine if someone is worthwhile or not. But it's incredibly difficult if your wheelhouse is not digital technology to determine whether someone is worthwhile or not, because there are a lot of smooth talkers out there.
Oh, yeah.
And in those cases, you've really got to go by the reviews. You've got to go by the quality of work that you see in their portfolio. And then you've got to, you know, kind of just do your due diligence and do research and rely on some of the bigger tools out there to tell you whether what they're saying is legitimate or not. It's sort of a Wild West in a lot of ways still.
Mm-hmm. So, Jeff, I love how you said you create transformative experiences. And within your industry, there are so many different niches and ways that you can expand and grow. How do you stay focused on what you specialize in, and when do you know when it's time to expand?
Awesome question. So I'll tell you from an internal perspective, when we're building something, you know, we are at our heart software developers. Mm-hmm. And so we don't do pay-per-click campaigns. We don't do social media campaigns. We don't do, you know, radio campaigns. We stay really focused on the thing that we know best, which is creating that foundation that everything else will be better because of. As it relates to when we're talking about projects and things that are going to move us forward, you know, Derek Sivers founded and sold CD Baby. And probably 3 or 4 years ago, I came across an article of his Hell Yeah or No. And what he said was, I either have to say, you know, if I like the idea of something, I say no to it. I have to really be excited. It's either a hell yeah and I go after that, or it's a no for me.
Yeah.
And we've taken that approach. And we turn down about 75% of anyone who comes to us.
Really? Wow.
And we really only focus on the ones where we feel like they're a personality fit. They are going to do the things that we suggest and recommend to help make sure the site's great. Because the worst thing is to go out and buy a Ferrari of a website and then not put any gas in it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot that goes into that sort of back and forth to finding the right fit.
So one thing that there's so many things that intrigues me about you as an entrepreneur and your business. Can you describe a little bit about your schedule now, where you've kind of got things where you're really focused on strategy? And I think that could be very helpful to anybody who's listening and trying to grow and scale their business.
Yeah. So I recognized early on that I'm good at a few things and I'm pretty terrible at a lot more things. And so my whole job and my whole life since I started Dynamics has been firing myself from the things that someone else can do better, and can do better if that's their sole focus. And so, you know, we're a bootstrap business, started from the ground up and just continue to grow based on hiring the right people. And so, you know, as I find that, you know, sales needs to do better without me, I bring in a salesperson. You know, I just have continuously gone through that journey to where I am now, where I could be out for several weeks and it doesn't have any real impact on anything because I'm not essential for anything to move forward. In fact, I think my guys would argue that I probably cause more harm than good if I get too involved in stuff, because I'll jump into it for a little bit and then go do something else. And so I try to leave them alone to rock things, because, you know, no matter how good you think you are on something, you know, 9 other people are better, 12 other people are better than you trying to do 12 different things.
We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. Again, you can always download a replay of any broadcast we do on shrimptankpodcast.com, or download us on iTunes and get the Shrimp Tank here in Atlanta. It's great, great stuff. When we get back, we're going to go through our hot or not section with Jeff Yon of Dynamics, and we're going to find out what's more important when it comes to a website. Is it aesthetics, or is it that your website can convert? We'll find out right back when we come here on the Shrimp Tank.
Well, you know, Ted, today's episode is brought to you by Radio in My Booth and Business Radio X, and today's special episode, Taste of Atlanta. Compliments of Taste of Atlanta. We're going to be giving away free gift cards to restaurants here in the Atlanta area, Maya being one of them, Bohannock Bucks, you know about this place, never heard of it, and Vinkman's. These are all going to be available for pickup here at 1 Glen Lake Plaza in Sandy Springs, 30328. And the Coup de Gras here a year of free pies from Buttermilk Sky Pie Shop. Of course, January is already gone, so you've got to start now. Come on down here. Limit one per household. Winners will be chosen at random by the BRX Action Committee. All you got to do is come down to the location here, the Sandy Springs Studio, 1 Glen Lake Plaza, Atlanta, Georgia, 30328, and pick them up. They'll be available to the end of the month. Back to you, Ted.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Shrimp Tank, coming to you live every Thursday, 11:30 to 12:30, right here at the Business Radio X Networks. I'm Ted Jenkins, your co-host, sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder of the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. We're joined by Joey, who's a student at KSU. And of course, our guest today, Jeff Yon, is the CEO of Dynamics 585 Awards. I'm still blown away by that. And by the way, like Ryan said, you ought to get down here. Taste of Atlanta's amazing event, but you want free stuff, like free goodies. This is how you save money. You come down here to Glen Lake. Mm-hmm. You get the stuff and, you know, free pie for a year. What's better than that?
Nothing's better in my opinion.
Yeah, if your wife yells at you, free pie.
Who
you
doesn't like
kids,
pie?
Kids don't like you, Ryan? Yeah. Free pie.
Right. Any free pie. It's a 4-inch pie, by the way, just to clarify. Okay. It's not a giant pie.
It's not a real pie. It's a small pie.
It's a small pie.
Well, we bring you some of the brightest and best CEOs every week right here on the Shrimp Tank. And in our second segment, we go through this hot or not section, especially with Jeff today, who not only besides the 585 awards that he's won, but also was a business person of the year last year in 2016. I mean, when you get these kind of accolades, it just doesn't happen by chance. This is the idea of starting a business. You create it, you build it the right way, you get the culture, and then people recognize you for the work and the great things that you do, not only in your community, but in this kind of business, probably across the United States. So amazing stuff. I'm curious, as a hot or not to start this segment, you know, for a business that's growing, and I don't know if you guys did this, is it a hot or not to apply for the Inc. 5000 or the Inc. 500? Is that meaningful?
You know, to me, I've ignored that one. I just...
Because Lee Heisman likes it, but you know...
I don't know. I see it on every other website that I come to, and I've just... It's not one of the ones that I've paid attention to.
All right. How about a hot or not here? I'll get into a real one, which is that, you know, with websites, I think a lot of business owners often get confused because to me, there's two reasons you can have a website. You can probably tell me 20, but, you know, either you're telling your story and you're creating this story that's out there. But in part, if you have a beautiful looking website that can't generate you business or leads or emails, whatever you're doing, what would you say? Is it better to have a website that's better looking, or one that would be worse looking, but it could actually generate you business?
So kind of our thought process in this is pretty is pointless. The website,
pretty is pointless. Yeah, yeah, I like that.
A pretty experience that doesn't answer the customer's question, there's no value to it whatsoever unless you are trying to be a brochure. And you cannot be a brochure site today and be successful. And so what I look for is, are you answering those subconscious questions that a customer has and helping them feel comfortable with you? You come onto that website, it needs to, in order, answer those subconscious questions to the point that by the time you hit the bottom of that front page, you pretty much know you do or don't want to work with that company.
So you like this idea today that a bunch of websites are really one page. They you know, or do you, you know what I mean? There's some of them have, it almost like a, almost feels like a sales funnel.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a double-edged sword. So the sites whose nav structure just takes you further down the page, it's less exciting to me. I think that the homepage needs to be your main funnel that helps someone understand who you are, what you are, why they should care. And for the people who are just like, do I want this plumber or this plumber? That's probably enough. But it also has to have the depth of content and capability for someone to really get their questions answered in a more impactful format. So like Georgia Renaissance Festival, you hit that homepage and it tells you everything about the festival, when it is, all that stuff. But then it breaks it out into what type of person you are. Are you going as a family? Are you going as couples, or do you have kids? Do you have, you know, are you a cosplayer? And you click on that, and now the whole experience is about all the things you're going to love as a cosplayer.
Hanks, did you like that? You know you have a great web guy when he slaps you with the nav structure. I like that. That's it.
Sorry.
I like that, though. That was awesome.
All right. So hot or not, sharing financial information with employees?
I don't know. I think that's a good question. I think enough for them to understand what's going on. But, you know, you also don't want people stressing about whether their job security is there and that type of thing. So it's a balance. Hmm.
Would you say hot or not having remote employee work teams?
You know, it's something that hasn't worked well for us in the past, mm-hmm. but it's something that we're starting to adopt again. I think the reason it hasn't worked in the past, it comes down to personality as much as anything else. Some people you can have around you and they're self-motivated. They can be remote and they'll get stuff done. If you have someone who isn't self-motivated and they work remote, they usually don't work.
Right. Yeah.
Hot or not, give away equity in the company or set up some sort of employee stock ownership plan. Is that a hot or not?
Not for me. You know, it just hasn't been something that that we focused on because, you know, it's, you know, I like to live and die by the decisions that we make. And we really, you know, we're bootstrapped and we really just kind of focus on moving things forward. And the guys get compensated by us continuing to evolve and get better.
I like that.
So I want to follow up. I had one, but Joey inspired me to one else, something else that I wanted to follow up on. So you mentioned about remote. What about 1099 or employees? Because your industry, you know, a lot of people do 1099. So hot or not, 1099?
We were 1099 for a while. We've been W-2'd for the past 4 or 5 years exclusively, just because it's better for the employee. People 1099 because it's cheaper on them. But the reality is if they're doing nothing but work for you and they're 1099, you're cheating the system. And a lot of times it comes back to bite these small web shops when all of a sudden the IRS looks at it and says, none of your people are really 1099. They're all working for you as W-2 employees and you're mishandling them. And so we're always very conservative on that stuff. Plus, I want to make sure they're getting benefits and all the stuff that they need to be able to be happy and focusing on what we need done instead of trying to figure out how to handle their personal stuff.
Hot or not, employees should be able to be on social media while they're at the workplace.
I don't have any problem with it. Half of my guys don't use social media at all.
Is that right?
Yeah, which is kind of surprising to me. But
that
I think
is surprising.
It's kind of like... I love technology and I love cars, but I also really love cars that have absolutely no technology in them. You know, so there's something about disconnecting and
right.
I think my guys
that's what
are
they're
in,
doing all day.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. Well, a lot of technology companies, they're known for having the Google-esque office space with free snacks and beanie bag chairs and everything. Do you think that type of open office culture adds or subtracts? So I guess hot or not, open office culture.
You know, it all depends. I think fairly open is great.
Yeah.
I think you get too entitled and people stop realizing why they're there and they start feeling like this is free lunch and not having the focus. So we have an unlimited beer fridge. And that's
an unlimited beer fridge.
Yeah.
Does that make for better coding or it doesn't?
Yeah, pretty well. Sometimes you just have a problem that a beer will help you solve.
I know. I'm just thinking at a 2 or 3 beer threshold, somebody might get just a little bit better in coding. And then, you know.
Yeah. Bomber peak. Have you seen that?
Hey, we're here with Jeff Yon, who's the CEO of Dynamics right here on the Shrimp Tank. We're going to take a quick break from our sponsors. And when we get back, we're going to get into our Plead the Fifth section with Jeff. Find out whether or not Chris Hanks can break the code right here when we get back on the Shrimp Tank.
In business, it's either time or money. How much money does your business lose if your network is down for a day? How much time do your employees waste trying to fix computer issues? At Savant, we have the experts to work on your network to simply make your company run more efficiently. Macs, PCs, mobile solutions, no problem. Savant's battery life never ends. Call 770-438-6240 and ask for Lee.
Hey, welcome back to the Shrimp Tank. I'm your co-host, Ted Jenkin. Thank you for joining us during your lunchtime here. We're here with Jeff Yon as the CEO of Dynamics. If you didn't hear the first two segments today, you ought to check out a replay at shrimptankpodcast.com. Or like I said, you ought to download us on iTunes. And by the way, we've got free goodies from Taste of Atlanta today right here at the Business Radio X Networks. And by the way, while you're down here, you might decide you want to do your own radio show. Who knows? You might come up with a good idea. Come see Ryan Redhawk here. Pick up your free goodies. I'm also sitting here with my co-host, Chris Hanks, who's the executive director and founder at the Shore Center for Entrepreneurship. And Joey seems to be a regular on the show now. Joey, how did you get to become a regular on the show? I want to know how you got in such good graces with Chris Hanks that you get to come here every week. How'd that happen?
Well, I think I kind of just kept bothering him, asking him for opportunities to help out with the Entrepreneurship Center. And he said, fine, I'll kind of let you tag along one day for the radio show, and the rest is history.
And how is Rhodey the rap mogul doing? Is he making any progress here?
He's doing awesome. Yeah. I think he has Rhodey an agent. He's got a show coming up.
Yep, got a big show, got an agent. And we will, and Joey and Rhodey and I and a bunch of other students will be sharing the weekend together, Ted.
That's right.
Yeah, that we're going on our first Entrepreneurship Center retreat.
Mm-hmm. This is like a camping trip?
Kind of, because I just heard we have to bring our own sheets. So that scared me a little bit. Nice. So kind of, you're right. Yeah, so.
This is not where you learn how to like tie a knot and things like that, right? No?
No, we are going to go Friday through Sunday up in Covington, Georgia. Nice. We're going on a great Entrepreneurship Center retreat. So Rhodey will be there. Joey will be there.
Now you're bringing, Rusty will you be bringing, there. Is Rusty the guy with the very, very deep voice?
Absolutely, yes, indeed.
So then you're in no problem when you're in the, if you get lost somewhere or something like that, exactly. He'll be able to call from anywhere. Yeah, right?
Absolutely.
So I think you're going to send them into the woods, right? And until they create a company, they can't come out?
Hey, that's a great idea, because I'm trying to come up with good ideas for what to do. That's a great idea.
Still got plenty of time to figure it out. Exactly.
So you get to learn everything right here on the Shrimp Tank. Well, we get to our third segment, which is our Plead the Fifth segment. We get to ask our guest questions. Jeff's going to get one opportunity to basically say, I plead the fifth. Chris Hanks has been really good at cracking the guests, I will have to say. Ryan, if you got one in here, don't be afraid to chime in. So I'm going to ask you first, is it a good idea to marry an entrepreneur?
No.
Wow, that was definitive.
Well, I mean, as an entrepreneur, no. Like two entrepreneurs in a household.
That's rough, right?
Yeah, I don't you need someone who's stable and likes things to be normal, and then someone who likes things to continuously be blown up. If you both like to blow stuff up, then
it definitely is true. I mean, because that's how it works in my household. I'm unstable and my wife is very stable, and I can't even take an order right at Chipotle, I realized last night. I got a salad bowl versus a burrito. And I heard about it, Hanks, for pretty much the rest of the evening in there.
I wouldn't be half as successful if my wife wasn't calm and stable and like let me do my thing. If she was going crazy on her ideas and we were both trying to figure out how to support each other on it, it just wouldn't work as well.
Very good.
So I'm thinking about all of the awards that you've received, which is pretty amazing. Which one is the least impressive to you?
Oh gosh. Least impressive award. Here I was thinking most impressive. I was trying to come up with something. I don't even know how to answer that. I really don't I kind of like everything that's come our way. I probably were the ones that were bizarre.
There's not one that you win and you're like, okay, seriously? No way. And that becomes like the office joke.
Thankfully, no one has submitted me for any really weird ones. And I hope that doesn't happen as a result of this.
Nice. Well, what is one way that you personally will improve in this calendar year to improve your company?
Great question.
Nice, Joey.
Yeah. Thanks. You paused me here.
It's an A- for him right there. I don't give him an A yet, but
not
an A-.
Yeah, so he's got a A-. Yeah, exactly.
I think continuing to make sure that that I stay out of the things I should stay out of. You know, it's very easy as an entrepreneur to step back for a little bit. You take a trip and you're like, wow, everything was great. I was out for a week and nothing went wrong. And you know, everyone handled it. And you go do your thing and then 3 weeks later, you're like, gosh, I'm right back in the thick of everything again, because you just go, oh, this one little thing here and this one little thing here. And so as entrepreneurs, it's easier to be so in the loop than it is to be kind of stepping back. And so my job this year is continuously focusing on saying, why am I doing this? And should I be doing this? And am I the right person to do it?
Love that.
Worst domain company on the internet. Do you have one that you know that you put people have gone to and said it's just literally they're the worst?
I've never been a big fan of network solutions.
I know, I think they're like old school, aren't they?
They're it's a pain to do anything and they're 12 times as expensive. Everything's just easier through GoDaddy.
GoDaddy has killed
it. Except DNS.
It's not good.
And websites.
And I'm just curious as a side note here that you might know for a lot of people, I think this is important, that the HTTP for a lot of websites now have changed to HTTPS.
Yes.
Does that actually matter for how somebody gets ranked by Google? Is that important?
So it's a minimal ranking factor on non-commerce sites right now, but it is a ranking factor. It is set to become a much bigger deal, not for the ranking side, but because Google's Chrome, which is most of the market now, is set in the next release to put a warning message up on visitors' browsers when they're visiting a site that has payment or secure information and is not HTTPS. And that is supposed to extend to all websites probably by the end of the year. And so if you don't have that, you run the risk of a significant amount of visitors suddenly coming to your website and seeing big warning messages that their data might be stolen and all of that. And so, you know, it's a scary thing when that happens and you're going, why haven't we done this already? And you're scrambling to try to fix the problem because of a Chrome update. So today is the day, 2 months ago is the day to start converting your site over to HTTPS.
So if you had to pick something that you don't like about your company, what would that be?
Well, Hanks might have got him on that one.
Sometimes being small, things are just a little more difficult than they could be if you had some scale. So, you know, there's no COO for me to call on or CIO to call on or, you know, some of those things. So it's not something that I don't like, but I feel like things might go faster sometimes if we had a little bit more resources. But on the flip side, things go really slowly when you have a lot of resources.
Yeah, right.
That's true. Yeah. So if you woke up tomorrow morning and you had all of your knowledge and experience, but not your business, what would you do in the next week?
Great question. And I can tell you exactly. First, I would jump headfirst deeper into the entrepreneurship side and helping students, high school and college, figure out what they are and what they should be doing and learn from all the things that I screwed up along the way. Because when I was in college, I mean, I had one professor who was the reason that I bothered to graduate from college and didn't just jump out and go do my thing. And I really think that there are a lot of people who are borderline jumping into an entrepreneurial endeavor, but they hear that one piece of bad advice from their mom or their dad who says, you got to have money to make money and you can't do anything unless someone comes along and gives you this opportunity or whatever, and they never do anything. And I've known too many people who are in their 40s and 50s going, gosh, I wish I had jumped in and I had just done this, or one of these days I'm going to do it, and they still think they're going to take over and jump into this thing and they never do. And so that would be what I put my energy towards.
Well, I wanted to thank you, Jeff, for coming on the program today. We're going to be doing a post-show wrap-up. And those that did not catch the whole broadcast, go to shrimptankpodcast.com. You can go to our YouTube channel on Shrimp Tank as well, and you'll be able to see Jeff's post-show wrap-up. For those that need a website, they need your help. I mean, you gave great advice today for those budding entrepreneurs that are out there. How can they get in touch with you and find out if you guys are a fit and get your firm to help them get their site not only developed, but if they need a new site and get that thing up and running?
You can just Google search Dynamics, D-Y-N-A-M-I-X, and you'll find us.
That's how badass it is. You just do that one word, and you guys probably are like the organic of organic searches on Google today.
And of course, Activision owns Dynamics.com because they bought a video game company by that name in the 90s, and they will not sell it, and it drives me crazy.
Well, thanks again for coming on the program. You all have to check out Dynamics. You saw the advice or heard the advice that Jeff gave today. If you need to get a web company behind your business, this is the one that you want, that knows about SEO and social and getting a website to convert, all important. And next week, right here on the Shrimp Tank, a lot of you have asked about public relations. How do I get in the news and the media and stuff like that? Well, we'll bring in two of the best, Karen West and Karen West PR. They're going to come on with Chad Shearer. You're going to learn more and more about PR next week, right here on the Shrimp Tank. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in. I've been feeling like a shark in a shrimp tank. Big fish, small pond in the shrimp tank. When it takes a swim, only option is to win. In the murky water, not a thought of giving in.